Drug makers and distributors have agreed to pay $26 billion to settle claims alleging they contributed to the opioid epidemic. Under that agreement, Wisconsin will receive more than $400 million of that funding. So how will that money be divided up across the state? How will it be used to deal with Wisconsin's opioid crisis? Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call joins us now. Attorney General Call, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
$400 million coming from this settlement for Wisconsin. How does that get divided up?
Yeah, this money is going to transform our response to the opioid epidemic, and it's the result of years of investigation and, in some cases, litigation. Under state law, 70% of the money that Wisconsin receives is going to go to county and local governments that were involved in litigation over the opioid epidemic. The other 30% is going to go to our state Department of Health Services, and those funds need to be used to support efforts to fight the opioid epidemic. And how exactly they get allocated is going to be decided by those county and local governments and by the Department of Health Services.
For the state part of this, what's the plan for using this money to help combat the opioid epidemic?
The Department of Health Services will ultimately decide where those funds go, and I know that they're in the process right now of engaging in listening sessions. My hope is to see those funds, though, go towards long-term investments that can help us ultimately beat this epidemic, including funding things like treatment programs, prevention programs, and recovery programs.
Looking at the bigger picture of this settlement, this comes from Johnson & Johnson for their production and marketing of opioids, and three really big companies that aren't household names that distribute it. They're the ones that pharmacies, for example, buy from. Can you talk about why the state was involved in this lawsuit, what you hoped to get out of it?
One of my priorities as Attorney General has been to strengthen our response to the opioid epidemic, and as part of that effort, we've been making sure we're taking a hard line when it comes to holding Big Pharma accountable for its role in this epidemic. We sued Purdue Pharma in my first year in office, and we also joined multi-state investigations into these three distributors. And one of the things we allege in the complaint we filed against Purdue Pharma is that the opioid epidemic didn't need to happen. It happened for a variety of reasons, but including that pharmaceutical companies engaged in false and deceptive marketing practices, or in some cases looked the other way when there were prescriptions that they had to have known couldn't have been legitimate. Holding those companies accountable is important to make sure that this never happens again, but it's also important because it brings resources to the state of Wisconsin that can go towards these efforts to fight the epidemic, and now we're seeing the results of that with this more than $400 million that's going to be coming to the state.
As I understand it, none of the companies in this settlement admitted to wrongdoing as part of the settlement. Do you wish that you had held out for that, you and the many other entities involved in this lawsuit had held out for that?
Well, you always want to see people acknowledge their responsibility for any conduct that violates the law, but we didn't want to let those sorts of issues stop us from bringing dollars to our communities that can help fight the opioid epidemic now. As a result of this resolution, there's going to be about $50 million coming to Wisconsin this year, and then an additional $350 million plus over a number of years going forward. And it's also important to note that this isn't the only matter involving opioid distributors or manufacturers. We are in bankruptcy proceedings involving Purdue Pharma, for example, and there could be other cases as well. And our goal is to get as many dollars to our communities in the state as we can to help people with the fight against the opioid epidemic.
Unfortunately, by a lot of measures, the opioid epidemic in the U.S. has gotten worse over the last couple of years. What do you see as the biggest areas of concern right now?
There are two things that I think are really driving the spike that we have seen. One is the pandemic has strained all sorts of resources and ties between people, and that's had a number of different negative effects on people's health and on both their mental health and their physical health. And it's also led to, I think, an increase in substance use disorder. So partly we need to make sure we're investing in treatment and recovery programs that can help people who are struggling with substance use disorder. The other thing we've seen is a lot of fentanyl being sold illegally. Fentanyl is an incredibly potent opioid. It's far more dangerous than even heroin and other opioids. And it often gets mixed in with other drugs without people knowing. And it's really critical that people are aware of the dangers of ingesting fentanyl. and that they're aware that they may not even know that they're taking fentanyl and it can lead to overdose deaths. So the more that we can do to prevent all types of substance use disorder, the more that we're going to be able to reduce opioid-related overdose deaths.
What efforts are underway to try to stop the flow of fentanyl into Wisconsin?
I think there are a few things. One is we need to try to reduce the demand for all different types of drugs, and that means engaging in treatment and diversion efforts, like I've been talking about, and also prevention efforts to make clear to people before they become addicted the dangers of becoming addicted to any kind of narcotic. But also we need to make sure that there's a strong enforcement effort. Partly that means discouraging overprescription so people don't become addicted to opioids and then ultimately turn to illegal opioids, and there's been some real success on that front. But it also means making sure that we are engaging in long-term intensive investigations into drug trafficking networks so that those who are bringing these drugs into Wisconsin and other states are investigated and ultimately prosecuted and put behind bars.
On the initial problem of overprescription of opioids, do you think we're doing better now than we were at the outset of this latest surge in opioid use?
I think we are doing better when it comes to the prescription front. The number of opioids that are prescribed is still far above where it was a little over 20 years ago. But it's also decreased pretty significantly over the last several years. And there are a number of steps that we've taken both in Wisconsin and nationally that have helped that, including things like the Prescription Drug Monitoring Program, which helps, among other things, prevent people from going to multiple doctors. I think the message has also gotten out that there had been overprescription, and that's caused some prescribers to rethink their practices in a way that's been helpful. And we've made sure that people are aware that there's a danger to opioid use, even if it's from a prescription. So we're making progress there, but we've also got to make sure that for people who are addicted, that they have access to treatment programs and recovery programs so they're not left to potentially turn to illegal opioids like heroin or fentanyl, but instead are able to get the help that they need to address their addiction.
For those kind of treatment and recovery programs, we hear there's a pressing need for them. This settlement we're talking about, is this enough money to put even a dent in our needs here?
Yeah, I think that this will make a significant difference in our response. It's not going to be all the resources that we need to fight the opioid epidemic, and it certainly doesn't match the harm and the devastation that the opioid epidemic has caused. But, you know, to put this in perspective, you know, the $50 million coming to the state of Wisconsin this year far exceeds the amount that we spend annually on the Treatment Alternatives and Diversion Program, which helps people who end up in the criminal justice system get access to treatment. So this will really reinforce our efforts, but it can't be the only thing we're doing. We need to continue investing in fighting this epidemic because it continues to be devastating to people across the state and across the country.
Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call is with us for a look at this new opioid drug settlement. A lot of money coming into Wisconsin. And I want to turn Attorney General Call to a couple other legal issues related to Wisconsin. We've got the state Supreme Court ruling on the state's redistricting plan, going with the latest effort from Governor Evers to meet their standard of least changes. Now Republican lawmakers going to the U.S. Supreme Court, looking to turn it back to their initial plan. Is the State Department of Justice going to be involved in that if it goes to the U.S. Supreme Court?
Yes, we will. I've been representing Governor Evers, as have some of my colleagues. The original ruling from the State Supreme Court that it was going to minimize changes to the current maps was one we had argued against. We thought that there should be a fair map process so that we have truly nonpartisan maps. But Governor Evers then submitted the maps that best met the test that the state Supreme Court had set, which was to minimize changes. And in doing so, he also submitted maps that are fairer. They're still not neutral, but they're fairer than the prior maps. And they best met the criteria that the state Supreme Court had set. I'm confident that those maps are going to remain in place as the appeal process plays out. And we will continue to be engaged in that litigation on behalf representing Governor Evers and ultimately to serve the best interests of Wisconsinites.
If this goes before the U.S. Supreme Court, what argument would you make that they should stay with the maps that the state Supreme Court went with?
Well, usually the federal courts defer to the state court judgments and state practices when states set maps. We will see exactly what arguments are raised here. But so far, the U.S. Supreme Court has been reluctant this year to get involved in maps that have been put in place in other states. There have been several places now where the U.S. Supreme Court has said that we're too close to the election to get involved. I expect that we're going to see something similar here. But also the maps that were adopted in Wisconsin comply with all the applicable laws. And, you know, the state Supreme Court used the standard it had set, and Governor Evers' maps best met that standard. So I expect that they'll remain in place.
You mentioned the time consideration here. The clock is ticking. April 15th, candidates start circulating nomination papers for elections later this year. If the U.S. Supreme Court did flip the decision from the state Supreme Court here, is there time to change the maps in, what, just over a month?
I don't think there is, because, you know, first, the State Election Commission had asked to have maps in place by the beginning of this month. The state Supreme Court wasn't quite able to do that, but it was very close, and there is time now to get everything set. But if the U.S. Supreme Court weighs in here, they would be invalidating the map, and we'd have to go through a new map drawing process, and that would make the whole process, it would really require a restart of the whole process. So I don't, for that reason, as well as some of the other reasons we talked about, I don't expect that to happen, and I'm confident that it won't.
And former state Supreme Court Justice Michael Gabelman released his second interim report last week in his ongoing investigation chartered by the state assembly leader, looking into the 2020 elections. Do you have response to his calls to get rid of the Wisconsin Election Commission, or his urging of lawmakers to take a look at the idea of somehow decertifying the outcome of that election?
The Voss-Gabelman investigation is an embarrassment to our state. It is a waste of tax dollars. It has embraced conspiracy theories that have already been addressed and rejected. And he's also bought into what are really fringe legal theories, including the theory that the state legislature, the politicians, can overturn the democratic results of an election, even if they've been certified by a court. I mean, that's really extreme and anti-democratic. I think that the Voss-Gabelman investigation shouldn't be given any consideration. And it's telling, I think, that even Republican lawmakers in Wisconsin aren't coming back into session to act on Justice Gabelman's report. Instead, they are going home for the year. So I don't think that report has been given really any credibility by even Republican legislators. And I think people should just ignore it.
Attorney General Call, thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's Attorney General Josh Call with us today to talk about how Wisconsin will distribute its share of the new $26 billion opioid drug settlement, plus a look at a couple of election-related issues here in Wisconsin.